to Chaminade today, and for the past, well, you've been coming to see me for 8 years at least, and before that, Chris Redondo, when he was here for many years as well. But Nirantara is from the Hare Krishna movement, and I asked you to read those couple of pages to familiarize yourself and to start to recognize some of the similarities and differences that you see with what we've been studying as a chapter, which is on Hinduism. And he's going to talk just for a few minutes, and then he's going to start going around the room and asking for your questions and what you're interested in rather than what he thinks you might be interested in. So you're going to fuel this conversation. We've got a lot of people, so we'll take probably the full hour. Are you ready to go? All right, very good.
I usually break the ice by singing this song. My sweet Lord, my Lord, my sweet Lord, really wanna see you, really wanna be with you, really wanna see you, Lord, but it takes so long, my Lord. Oh, my Lord, my sweet Lord, really wanna know you, really wanna go with you, really want to show you, Lord, that I hope it won't take long, my sweet Lord. Oh, my Lord, my sweet Lord, really wanna serve you, though I don't deserve you, really want to serve you, Lord, and I hope it won't take long. You can call him Allah, you can call him Buddha, you can call him Jehovah, call him Adonai, why you can even say Jesus, sweet Lord Jesus, say any name of the Lord, it's all the same to me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, my Lord, my sweet Lord, ooh, my Lord, my sweet Lord, talking about my Lord. Okay, so you might have noticed, if you're familiar with the song, I added two of my own verses to George Harrison's song here because I wanted to point out some of the philosophy that is taught in the Hare Krishna movement. That philosophy signifies that we, as living spiritual souls, are the eternal servant of God. The first thing you learn in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the main book of the Hare Krishna movement, and most Hindu sects accept Bhagavad Gita as a common scripture, the first thing you learn in the Bhagavad Gita is that you are not the person you see in the mirror. You're not that body. You're not your mind. That's not who you are. You're a soul inhabiting a body. Most people say, I have a soul. No, you're a soul that has a body. Just as your clothes, right? Your clothes are not you. You're the person wearing the clothes. You're not your car. You may drive a Hyundai or you might drive a Mercedes, but that's not who you are. You're the person driving the car. So in the same way, you're not man or woman, black or white, young or old. That's the body. That's your clothes. That's your car. The real you, the eternal soul, that's different. And you haven't seen that your real you yet. And the whole purpose of human life is to discover who you really are, who is God, and what is your relationship with God. That's the actual purpose of human life, to find out, who am I? Who am I eternally? Because in the Bhagavad Gita, you come to know quickly that you have existed always in the past. You exist now, and you will continue to exist in the future. So I like to make a joke. Get used to yourself. You're going to be around a long time. So you have had many bodies before, many lives before. You might have been a man in your last life. Think about that. Pretty far out, huh? Yes, I might have been a cockroach at one point. There are 8,400,000 different kinds of bodies I could have. So the next question is, well, what determines what body I get in my next life? And that all has to do with karma. How am I acting in this life, the good and bad that I do, and my desires determines what my next chapter of life is going to be. Same way, you're now, what are you, seniors, juniors? All right. So you're preparing now for your next life, known as college. Freedom, baby. Right? You'll be away at college. No more parental pressure. So it depends how you have been acting all these years is going to determine which college and will you get the college that you really wanted. So that's karma. You are making choices, you're making decisions, and those choices and decisions give you a reaction. Just like in civil life, if you break the law, you're liable to get punished. You might get a fine, you might get incarcerated, or in some cases, if you do a heinous crime, you can, in some places, get killed by the state. So your decisions, your actions definitely have consequences. So at the time of death, you are judged based on all the decisions and choices you made and your prominent desire, and that determines your next life. So if you would like to end this cycle, because it goes, because I said the soul's eternal, so it can go on and on and on and on until the point where you say, I simply want to surrender to God. Just as Jesus was asked, how many Christians and Catholics do we have? Oh, we have more in this class. Okay. How many agnostics? Don't be afraid. I don't hate anybody. Okay, how many hardcore atheists? Okay, it's okay. You don't scare me. It's okay. We love, but it's nice to know who you're talking to. So for those who know the Bible, Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the essence of true religion. Doesn't matter what club you belong to. What Jesus said there is the essence of pure religion. In the Hare Krishna movement, we live by that teaching. Everything we're doing, the chanting, everything is for that objective. We are trying to develop love of God. Okay? So I talked long enough. We will start. We'll go up and down the row. Any question, nothing is out of bounds. I've heard them all. So don't be afraid. Go ahead. Okay, what I enjoy most, the food, it's great food. Vegetarian Indian cuisine is the best. Fantastic. I love the singing. I like the fact that I can play guitar and sing songs. I'm famous for that in the Hare Krishna movement as a singer-songwriter. I love this chanting. I love the books, the philosophy. I spend several hours every day studying so that I can come and do presentations like this. I'm a full-time preacher. My wife works a regular job, so she's the breadwinner, because I don't make much money off of this. But she wants me to go out, travel the world, and preach. I have the best wife. So I like the preaching, I like the music, I like the clothes. Very comfortable, and they look cool. I like the hairstyle. I like everything. Next question.
It's why do you think the Bhagavad Gita is the most popular?
This is quite an impressive question. In India, you have a scripture known as the Mahabharata. It's always on Indian TV. It's like the ancient history of India. So within that Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita is spoken. I think it is accepted by most Hindu sects because it covers it's like a summary or a gist of all the spiritual, religious, Indian teachings. Technically, Hinduism is based on a library of knowledge known as Vedas. There are four Vedas, 108 Upanishads, 18 Puranas, the Mahabharata, Vedanta Sutra. But if you wanted one book that covers everything, Bhagavad Gita. And most Hindu sects agree, yes, Bhagavad Gita is like one-stop shopping, everything is there. Yes?
Okay, so you said that if we're just souls, does the soul have a tangible form or can it only exist in a body?
Okay, this is so good. I wish I had my bell with me. Monday I have a bell, one of those class bells.
Yeah.
I use that all the time for my preaching. I would have gone ding, 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 ding. The soul does have its original form. In the material realm, when it's in a body, that spiritual form takes on a spiritual spark. The spiritual original form is not developed or is not manifested. If you reach the stage of pure love of God, you go to the kingdom of God, or in Christian they have heaven, but you go to the kingdom of God and that spirit spark, or you could say a ray of sunlight, takes on its original form. Because in the kingdom of God, everything is conscious. The chair is conscious. It's a soul. The land, the trees, the animals. There's human beings. There's everything in the kingdom of God. And it's in a spiritual form. This is a material form. The material form decays, gets old, gets sick. A spiritual form does not grow old, does not decay, does not get sick. And it's always in the spiritual world, you don't have to go to school. You just exist in happiness and bliss. In the association of God. But in the material world, depending on the body, that spiritual form is not how shall we say, it's not there, it's not manifested. The soul is a spiritual spark, like a ray of sunlight. Next question.
So what are all the different things that you wear, and like, what do they mean?
Well, of all the things I'm wearing, this thing is the most important. This is called tilak, and it's placed on 13 or 12 parts of my body. It's there for protection. When I put it on, I say a prayer invoking protection of God. And why this one is most important is because this one is burning up all your bad karma. So keep looking at me, because I'm doing you a favor. I'm burning up bad karma. So keep looking at me. I don't charge for that. It's a service I do. The important thing here would be my beads that I chant on every day. These are 108 beads. So on each bead, I have to say, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And then I do that 108 times 16 every day, because I've taken the vows of an initiated. Then this is Indian clothing, kurta. And I right away from the start, I loved it. I said, wow, this is finally, I don't like jeans. I don't know how you guys can wear jeans. This is loose fitting. I feel cool. And the shaved head is a sign of that I'm not supposed to be vain, that I'm supposed to be meek and humble. And in the last class, they wanted to know about these. Well, these are something that reminds me of my wife, so it's like she's watching me at all times so I don't do anything stupid, which I tend to do sometimes. And these beads are, they never come off, because these beads are there to save me from going to hell at the time of death. If I'm wearing these beads, I'm saved. Okay? Go. How did I stumble upon it? Yeah. I stumbled. You're right. All right. So I went to Chaminade High School on the East Coast in a place called Mineola, New York. I graduated valedictorian in 1968. But our school was all boys. We didn't have this mix. So when I got out of high school, I became a hippie. And I discovered sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But after about 4 or 5 years, I was totally miserable. I was trying to become the next Bob Dylan, Jimi Hendrix, John Lennon, Elvis Presley, but I wasn't getting anywhere. So then one day somebody gave me a little pamphlet, and I read that pamphlet and I said, this is what I've been looking for. I love this. Then 6 months later, I got a book, The Life Story of Krishna. And after reading that, I decided, this is for me. I'm going to join this movement. Then I went to the temple, and they gave me this little bit of food. And now, my mother used to make spinach. I wouldn't eat it. But this was spinach, but it tasted better than ice cream. This spinach was so good, I jumped up, give me more, give me more. And they said, got to come back tomorrow. So just for the food, I wanted to go to the temple. The food was just so good. Then I liked the chanting. I liked the books. I liked the people. And I love preaching. Okay, go.
How you were talking about all the stuff that you like, I was wondering if there was anything that you dislike.
The only thing I dislike would be when I fall short of what I'm supposed to be at a given time. If I don't live up to the vows and promises and the level of knowledge I'm held accountable to. I'm not perfect. I'm flawed. So I do make mistakes. So that's what I hate the most, when I don't. Other than that, there's nothing about it I don't like. It's only if my lack of sincerity, my lack of commitment. Next. Well, what happened is this. Good question. What happened is this. After a few days in the temple, when I first joined the temple, I was just sweeping and mopping and cleaning the bathrooms and working, and I was doing all kinds of, you know, manual things. That was all right. I wanted to be playing guitar and singing, but that's not what they said. No, you do this. Because living in the temple is like being in the military. You get up early in the morning, and all day long there's somebody telling you, now you do this, now you do this. So at one day, they sent us out for a singing. Maybe you've seen us chanting on the street with handbells and drums, and we're supposed to dance for hours. So my first time, it was in New York City, 42nd Street, and I can't keep up. It's like, how long are we going to do this dancing? And I can't do, and I was thinking, I'm a failure. I can't make it in the music world. I can't even make it as a Hare Krishna. What's wrong with me? I was just about to quit when all of a sudden, I don't know where it came from, this surge of energy came, and I was like, hey, I can do this. Thank you, Jesus. That was rough. There have been other incidents, but I don't want to talk about it. Go ahead. Some people may think that, but we do have a branch of followers who are expert in reconciling science and the philosophy. We have one person, he's actually a famous author. His name is Michael Cremo, and he has completely debunked, in terms of not religious, but he has debunked Darwin, kicked him on his face, and he goes around the world doing seminars, proving and showing all the different fallacies and different items about, you know, the religion of evolution that are just like bogus. So he's made a career out of it. He's written several books. He travels all over the world. So we do have a branch. We have like a section scientist, Hare Krishna scientist, and that's their thing. Me, I don't care about that. Yes?
What about like friends and family? Like, how did they feel when they found out that you decided to
do it? Okay, well, in everybody, it's a different case. But in my case, since I had become a hippie, my parents were pretty much like, yeah, whatever. He won't make it. He won't last. But I showed them, because 2 weeks turned into 2 years, and now it's been over 40 years. So they just had, you know, then I got married and had a daughter and have a grandson. So little by little, they had to accept it. Everybody has a different, you know, depends. Go. Oh, I love this question. Yes. On my either my Facebook or I have a thing. The greatest thing I have learned is that I must try to always be meek and humble. That is the beginning of success. Meek and humble. I am the servant. I am God's servant, and I'm actually your servant. Why? Because God is in your heart. The soul is there, and next door to you, God is there. That's why also why we do this. This is signifying a temple. The body is a temple because God lives in my heart. So I'm not supposed to do anything bad. So yeah, that answers that. Good enough? Mm-hmm. Go.
Do you mind elaborating on how this guarantees that you...
Okay. There are two aspects in practically any religion. They have their philosophy and they have their rituals. So this is what you would say is a Hare Krishna ritual. And this particular wood, it's not ordinary wood. It's considered the most sacred tree in India, Tulsi. And the philosophy or the history behind it is that this Tulsi is so favored by God that a benediction you get from wearing this, especially at the time of death, is that you're excused from hell. Like that. Go. What area? My mental outlook and how I feel. That has, because the philosophy and the chanting and the whole way of life has made me happy because I'm happy. I mean, I want it. That's all I want out of life. I just want to be happy. So I find that this philosophy, this way of life makes me happy. Yes, sir. Nothing. If it's actually Tulsi, if it's actually the Tulsi wood, they pretty much will get it's kind of like an absolute thing. The wood is considered sacred. Okay? Okay. Objectively, no, I can't say that. Because you're entering a realm which is called revelation. And revelation is something that comes, it's not like an automatic, you put your $5 and you get, no. Revelation comes from God in the heart. The best way I can answer it is when you're hungry, nobody else can tell if you're full. You know when you've had enough. Like I go to so many Indian homes and they feed me and it's like the mother comes, the father comes, the grand, and they're putting more stuff on my plate because that's their culture. So they don't know that I'm, but I go, no, please, I'm full. So in the same way, all I can say is, I embrace this philosophy, it works for me, and based on 40 years of living it, I have every reason to believe that if not in this life, eventually I will achieve love of God. And it's based on what the scriptures teach. I can't, I'm not self-realized right now. I'm on the road, and it may take 2, 3, 4, 5 lifetimes. But from what I've seen so far, I'm happy. Go.
Are there ever times where you come across negative attention? And if so, how do you...
Oh, my God. Every day. Because many times, even if I'm not out preaching, if I'm just shopping, I dress like this, or I got this on. And yeah, some people think you're some robot or Martian. And some people think it's cool. And the way you deal with it is, I am secure in myself. Like, I don't really care what people think of me. I got over that when I was a hippie. I am secure and I'm happy. So if somebody's got a problem with me, that's their problem. I'm happy. Horrible. Okay. Okay, so you are right. If your balance sheet at the end of life is more negative bad than good, then generally you go take a lower life form. But before you go to that lower life form, you go to hell. Now, in our philosophy, hell is not eternal. You're only going to hell for a certain amount of time. Then you take your next lower birth than human. And it's my understanding that just like when you have a dream at night, for the person, let's say it's a nightmare, for the person experiencing the nightmare, it can seem like a lifetime. But in actuality, viewing it from the person who's not sleeping, it's only a few seconds. But time is relative. But for the person in the dream, it can seem like an eternity. So that's what hell is. Hell is the interim time between the end of this birth, end of this life, and your next life. It's like this. But for you experiencing it, different. It'll seem like torture for millions of years if you go to hell. But you'll take a birth, and there's a natural evolution, one birth after another, and you come back eventually as a human being. As a human being, you can finish up your business or go back down again. Choice is yours. You have free will. Yes, sir. Let's see. No, because my wife believes and follows the same thing. So I would not say that we've had any marital problems based on faith. We have had marital problems because I don't listen to her. And she's always right. And it took me a long time because being a stubborn Italian male chauvinist pig, I naturally thought that she doesn't know anything and I know everything. But every time she told me, don't do that, don't do that, I'd have to come back wagging my tail and admit she was right and I was wrong. So after so many years of marriage, now I just, whatever she says, yes, boss. And I'm a happy man. Go ahead. That might be, because I saw, and I was just perusing this book, and it said there's something about 108 desires. That may or may not be true. It's not something we preach. What I know is 108 is considered the most auspicious number in the Vedic culture, Hindu culture. It may be, but that's not something that we preach. Go. The movement has made mistakes. The movement has done things that we are ashamed of, yes. But thankfully, things have resolved. I would say my biggest regret is, I have two big regrets. I didn't find it sooner. And when I had the opportunity to serve my guru, I messed up on several occasions. I just blew it. So I was like, what an idiot. Okay, go. Yes, yes. Music is a big part of our religion, although we use the standard kartal, the hand cymbals, and the two-headed drum. And I'm kind of a revolutionary. I'm one of the few that plays guitar, and I'm allowed to get away with it, so to speak, because I use it for outside outreach programs, so it's okay. And yes, because we have a principle. It's called Yukta Vairagya in Sanskrit. What I like, one thing that I like about this philosophy is that you are not denied your abilities and your talents, but rather you're encouraged to use your talents and abilities to foster your understanding and love of God. So we have dancing. So if you are fond of dancing, use your dancing to serve God. If you're an artist, paint pictures that glorify God. If you're a musician, sing for God. If you like to eat, cook for God. Whatever your talent is, you can purify that by doing it as, that's a main teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. Yat karoshi yadashnasi, yaj juhosi dadasi, yat tapasyas yakonteya, tat karushva mad arpanam. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow morning at somebody's house. Use whatever you have. You got intelligence, you got a brain, use it for Krishna. Like to make money? Good, make money for Krishna. Okay? Go. What do you think? Doesn't every parent do that? Every parent raises their child the way they are. You don't go to a six-year-old child, okay, now, which church do you want to go? Come on. It's not human nature. Everybody brings up their child the way they are. I'm sure an atheist family doesn't go to their children and say, do you want to go to church? No, it's just, it's human nature. You're going to raise your child what you and your husband believe. But at a certain age, your child is going to say, you know what? I ain't buying your stuff anymore. I'm going to do, yeah, because you reach the age of reason. And then when you get to college especially, you're on your own. Right, go. That would happen in India sometimes. It never happens here. All of the people that I minister to, 95% of them are Indian. So I don't have any problem. I'm very much respected by the Indian community here in America. But in some temples in India, they won't allow me even to enter because I'm not quote-unquote Hindu. Like when I went to Jagannath Puri, I'll tell you a funny story. Jagannath Puri does not allow anyone who's not a Hindu to enter the temple. So I visited the temple and I stayed in a place as the guest of somebody part of the temple. And they gave me some food. And the man said, can you get me green card? So I said, no problem. You get me in the temple, I'll get you green card. That was the end of that. So some temples in India, I'm not allowed. But here in America, no problem.
I guess my question is, 108 beads, when you chant on them, what do you think about? Is it like
you're supposed to be listening intently on the sound. Now the mind is going to go wherever it goes. So generally, you chant louder than your mind. So me, this is how I chant at home. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, because I have my mind's on 11. Okay, I have a very loud mind. So the technique of chanting is to concentrate. Since I'm a musician, I can understand this. When I sang the song, I didn't look at you. I had my eyes closed because I was concentrating on the sound and the words and everything. I was totally, I wasn't thinking about anything but that song. So that's the best way to chant, totally absorbed in the sounds. Next.
I was just curious on how you met your wife.
Oh, boy. Okay. We met at a temple. We fell in love. But I had to leave. It was in Canada. And I had to go back to New York. So nothing happened for 2 years. For 2 years, my wife prayed to Krishna to have me. And one day, a phone rang. I was the secretary to the temple president in New York, and it was her. And the voice said, "Do you want to marry me?" And I was so stunned, I didn't know what to say. And I said, I got to think about it. So she proposed. After 2 weeks, after careful prayer, I did a lot of praying. I prayed for 2 weeks, and I called her back. Let's do it. And we've been married since 1980, January 10th, 1980. We have several anniversaries, so that was the day we got together. Go.
Okay, my question was a little weird.
No question is weird.
Okay, my question is, what do you think of the distinction between soul and spirit?
Same thing. We use that word interchangeably. We say spirit, soul. Unless you have a different concept. But in our books, the word spirit is the opposite of matter. And spirit, soul, spirit, we use interchangeably. You have some different kind of, okay, go. That's not a weird question.
What is the, paste on your body made out of?
Okay, there are sacred, holy rivers in India. Ganges, Yamuna, there's Kaveri, there's different holy rivers in India. So if it is a sacred river, the mud on the banks of those rivers are considered sanctifying or purifying. So it's based on mud or clay taken from the banks of sacred rivers. And you make a paste, and then I use a knitting needle to make the straight. Some people use their finger, but I'm not so good. So I use a metal, like a knitting needle. I go, whoosh, comes out pretty good. Next.
Vicky, yeah. Are you coming up with your question?
Okay, go.
What?
Appeals. The food, the people, the singing, the philosophy, the chanting. It's like a package thing. I love it all. The clothes, there's nothing I don't like. Okay, my favorite, I have several favorites, but you're not going to know. One is called Patra. You know what is Patra? What part of India are you? Sri Lanka. All right. Do they eat South Indian food there?
They do, but it's different from...
Then South, okay. Yeah. So Patra, and then samosas, and then my favorite, paneer. Paneer is milk that's been curdled, and then you press it, and you make these deep-fried cheese balls.
They're so good.
Yes. See, you will know. But the thing is, the main thing is, you got to learn the spicing. And that you can only learn from somebody who knows the art. The spicing is the key. Otherwise, I would never be vegetarian. Forget it. But the Indian vegetarian spicing, it's fantastic. We got time. We went through. Okay, so those who wear white, they're married. And those who wear the orange or saffron colored, they're single. They are monks. I'm a married monk. Okay, what else?
What other questions?
Yes. Okay, marriage can be a real simple thing where the couple goes to a priest, like I'm a priest, I've married people, and you just exchange garlands and you vow that you'll serve each other. It can be as simple as that. Or generally, what's happening now, especially Indians here, They want the elaborate, you know, where you spend thousands and thousands. And like I have a friend, an Indian friend, to get his daughter married, he spent $35,000.
Oh. Yeah.
What community are you?
I'm Sikh.
Sikh.
And my dad is Punjabi.
So. Okay, yep. That the Punjabis, they do like a whole week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. No, you can have it as elaborate as you want, or like I said, as simple as you want. More questions? Yes, sir. Okay, if you are good, then you don't go to hell. You immediately take your next birth in the higher upgraded status. Okay? Only go to hell if you're bad, and you are taking on a lower life form, like a tree, an aquatic, a fish, an animal. You have to get trained up. Okay, go. All right, that science I'm not aware of. But I will say I have read this. I have read that if your last animal birth before you're going to become a human is a monkey, then that means your next human birth is going to be what is called in the mode of ignorance. If your last animal birth was a tiger, then you're going to take birth in the material, in human form, in a very passionate type of environment. And if you take birth, your last animal birth is a cow, then in your next human birth, you're going to be in the mode of goodness. But that's a generalization, whether that's true for each and every case. And I don't, there's not a whole, in our books, there's not a whole lot of discussion about taking lower life forms. And it may be there because there are four Vedas, 108 Upanishads, 18 Puranas, the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, the Vedanta Sutra. There's a lot of information. We concentrate on two books, the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So there may be such information. I'm just not aware of it. More questions. Yes, sir. Because, keep in mind, you might be coming from the animal species. Some are going down. There are life in other planets. There are other universes. So there's no way anyone's going to be able to calculate these kinds of things. Things are in flux. Some people are going down. Some people are going up. You follow? Yeah, there's no way you're going to be able to. Yes, sir.
Do you know any of the rhetoric that your friend who wrote that book about disproving Darwin, do you know any of the rhetoric that he uses?
No, you'd have to. He's on the internet. His name is Michael Cremo, C-R-E-M-O, Michael Cremo. I'm sure he's there in YouTube. I'm sure you can, because he has a website. I mean, you go on the internet, I'm sure you can, Michael Cremo.
Is this him? Do you know what he looks like?
Yep, he's a friend of mine. That's him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know him personally. We've had our run-ins, but. Yes. What else? Yes, sir.
How do you reconcile this, striving for the immaterial with, material nature trying to
be? Say that again. How do I strive for?
Well, everybody in your religion kind of strives for the immaterial, right?
For the immaterial.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
how do you reconcile that with, the holy tree and the holy sediment from the river and things like that?
Okay. God's plan is there are different, in this world, there are different categories or qualities. Some things created by God are bad for you. We have poison, intoxicants, all right? You're free to do what you want. There are some things that are in the mode of passion. There are some things in the mode of goodness, such as knowledge, music, art. These are what is called the mode of, and there are certain things which are considered spiritual or transcendental. So in our scriptures, you are encouraged to at least nurture the things in the mode of goodness, eating, you, how you work. Everything should be done in the mode of goodness, because from there you can go to the transcendental plane, if I got your question correct. There are certain things, like, yes, there are holy rivers, okay? These mantras, they are not material sounds. They are transcendental sound vibrations. Now, you, the only way to know is you have to try and see what happens. I did that, and I see a result. When I chant, I see a result. And that's why, because if I'm going to spend 2-3 hours every day chanting the same thing over, I better get something out of it. Trust me. I'm not going to waste my time the last 40 years chanting and not get something from it. It's got to be something that works. And for me, it works. More questions. Yes, sir. You take on your original spiritual form. So there's human beings, there's animals, there's plants. Everything in the kingdom of God is conscious. So your form can even be a table, but a conscious table. Pretty cool.
So you just look like what you were originally?
Yeah, you originally have a form. Now, I have had discussions that actually you could even change that form. So you don't have to stay. Yes?
Did all the souls start there? Or?
Yes. Our philosophy says that originally everyone was in the kingdom of God. The question is, how did we get here? It's very similar to Adam and Eve, Paradise Lost. God gave them an instruction. They disobeyed. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. If Adam and Eve had not disobeyed, probably we would be there, right? So in the same way, originally we're in the kingdom of God. What is the original sin? Envy. We are envious that God is the center and it's not me. I want to be the center. I want to be God. God says, okay. You want to be me? You want to imitate me? Go to Los Angeles. See how you, good luck. More questions. Yes, sir.
How do we come back if something like a table
is man-made? No, no. We're talking about in the spiritual world, not in the material world. That's it. No, not in the material. You can become a tree, not a table, in the material world. In the spiritual world, it's different because it's conscious. There's no matter. There's form. It's spiritual form made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. We're talking now, this is dead matter. So it's different. Okay? No, you're not coming back. Trust me. That's not happening. What else? Yes, sir. Oh, we have so many stores and temples. They go to India and they bring it back. Oh, this is easy to get. Yeah, if you go to our temple in Los Angeles, we have a gift shop. You can get all this stuff. You can get the beads. You can get the clothes. You can get the clay. You can get so much. Yes, it's called Govinda's. Yes. You'll find a lot. We have many... Over the years, many, many movie stars have come to our gift shop. I personally was with, who's that lead singer for Aerosmith? Yeah, he came with his wife and his entourage. He spent a couple of $1,000s. And then he said, I need to use the bathroom. So I took him to my office I had in the temple. And as we were walking to the office, he said, can I get one of those cool Krishna names? And I said, I'll have to think about that. And I remember walking up the stairs once, and there was Sharon Stone putting on some clothes. And Jamie Lee Curtis came. Oh, a really good one. I personally saw Anthony Hopkins and his girlfriend. They had dinner there, and I remember when he came out, he told the girl at the cash register, food was delicious. So we've had many. I know, who was that? Some Hollywood people, they're having a Halloween party and they want it to be Indian, so they order all this stuff from our gift shop. And Drew Barrymore, she knew a lot because besides going to the gift shop, she wanted to go to the temple. And she knew so many things about the temple. She knew who this was, who this was, who this was. You'd be surprised. Very interesting. What else? How did I do? Ah, thank you. How about I sing one more song?
That sounds great.
All right. Now, this one is my own song. That other song was George Harrison. But I'm going to do my own song. This is my second best song that I wrote. Never felt like this before I chanted. How did I exist before I chanted? Now you're on my mind. You're there all the time. I can't forget that you're inside my heart. Inside my heart. Oh, my Lord, I really must surrender. Oh, my Lord, I truly must surrender. Oh, my Lord, I really must surrender to you, to you. Things have really changed since I've been chanting. My life is not the same since I've been chanting. You got a way about you. Now I can't live without you. I won't forget that you're inside my heart. Inside my heart. Oh, my Lord, I really must surrender. Oh, my Lord, I truly must surrender. Oh, my Lord, I simply must surrender to you. to you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
Thank you, boss.